Television schedules in this country may be full of programmes from the United States, but there are some aspects of American TV with which we're less familiar. I'm thinking of the medical advertisements, which come at the viewer constantly, offering equipment and treatment, often for ailments you scarcely knew existed. Kevin Connolly believes it's a phenomenon which plays on the doubts and the fears of the viewer.
I have been taking a keen interest in television adverts for indigestion products lately, a habit which more or less coincided with my discovery of beef jerky, an American food whose classiness you can judge from the fact that it's mainly found in filling stations. You could make it yourself at home by cutting a tough, thin steak into tiny strips and leaving them on a sunny window ledge to dry when you went away for your summer holiday. That should give you the very essence of jerky, dry and rubbery at the same time, and chewy, like Bovril-flavoured lino. I started off munching on slivers of it on long drives through America's far horizons, but now I'm perfectly capable of eating my own body weight of the stuff on a trip to the shops. As is often the case with addictions, I began dabbling in adverts for indigestion tablets and slowly found myself hooked on the darker, stronger material contained in commercials for prescription drugs. America is, I think, the only country in the world which permits advertising of drugs available only through the doctor, and the insidious message is simple. If your doctor isn't offering you this drug, maybe you should be asking for it. Americans do accept advertising in areas where it doesn't tend to appear elsewhere. It's not uncommon here for a sportscaster to be required to break away from the main business in hand to draw your attention to the succulence of a sausage or the ruggedness of a truck. Prescription drugs, though, are surely different. After all, the whole point of them is it's not considered safe to let us simply buy them over the counter. They are so strong or so habit-forming that it's up to the doctor to decide we really need them. Advertising subtly changes that relationship by sending us in to see the doctor, filled with nameless dreads about the symptoms of diseases we might have and a detailed knowledge of the drugs that might help us. The TV spots, in other words, insidiously furnish us with the tools to torture ourselves. I am happy enough, for example, and secretly regard anyone who's happier as slightly mad. But who am I to say that the bottled sunshine of the prescription antidepressant wouldn't lift my mood a couple of notches further? I sleep well enough too, but I certainly don't start the day with the radiant lustre of the woman in the sleeping pill advert. She is perhaps the jolliest person in TV Adland's world of impotence, flatulence and obesity. On the occasions when I do lie awake at night these days, the floppy, flabby, misshapen demons of my own future link hands and dance lumberously around my bed. Do I suffer from the curiously named symptoms which would alert me to serious illness? Straining. Going too often. Not going at all. Going when you weren't expecting to. Incomplete emptying, which always puts me in mind of an inefficiently run fire drill in a public building, but which of course refers to an altogether different, trouser-dampening reality. The biggest single market is in drugs that deal with erectile dysfunction. My favourite features a group of men who gather together to play in a band. I think it's meant to show them looking relaxed and happy. But they're such good musicians, you can't help noting that impotence has left them with plenty of time on their hands to practice their instruments. The best part of the adverts tends to come towards the end, when the law requires the pharmaceutical company to list the possible side effects of the various products. Sometimes these are spelled out in a warm tone, implying this is all a bit of a formality imposed by our fuss budget of a government. Sometimes they're rattled out at speeds normally only reached by horse racing commentators in the closing stages of a big race. The symptoms include coughs and sneezes, runny noses and rashes. But there is a more alarming end of the spectrum too, where you're solemnly warned of the possibility, presumably small, of suffering a stroke, a heart attack, or even death, that last and greatest side effect of them all. I think about those adverts and those side effects every time I open a fresh pack of dried beef using my gigantic, jerky-reinforced arms. They are a daily reminder of the many ways in which America, superficially so similar to Western Europe, is really so profoundly different. Those adverts, with their sure sense of how to play on our doubts and insecurities, are a symptom of the restless energy of American capitalism, and of the belief that it can apply to issues of health and happiness as readily as it can apply to polish or pet food. The downside of the system for me? I have rampant, raging hypochondria these days to add to my chronic, jerky-induced indigestion. And the upside? Well, there's bound to be something I can take for it, if I can just manage to plant myself in front of the telly until an advert for the tablets I'm looking for eventually pops up.
And with Kevin Connolly in Washington returning to his television screen, beef jerky doubtless close at hand, we've reached the end of another edition.